You are listening to the Cycling Podcast at the Giro d'Italia in association with Rafa, the fastest clothing in the world tour, the home of cycling with character. Ride and watch with Rafa in 2019 as they partner with EF Education First and Canyon SRAM. Today we are in Anterselva, Antols.
What's the music?
Slavko Avsenik, Slavko Avsenik, Golica.
Traditional Slovenian music?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Are you big Primoz fans?
Yes.
The atmosphere, it doesn't seem to be. A few days ago, the Slovenian fans were full of hope. They thought he was going to win, not so much now.
We still have hope.
Yeah. Yes. You said that was crazy. A lot of, you can see Slovenian flags. Slovenian supporters, and of course I enjoy them. It's still a long way to go. Of course they are going fast, but for me it's just the most important that still I'm staying healthy in one piece, and the fight will be for sure till the end. I still have a pain here, especially around my chest, but like with the stomach is getting better, so. I can be optimistic about that. Everything affects a little, let's say like that. For sure, it doesn't help. But of course, it's for no one is easy. So it's a big fight for everyone.
It's the only way to win Tour de France. Right. Everybody. Yeah. I'm first Slovenian going around the world by car. First one in the world, Slovenian. I'm Ironman. I'm a cyclist training. But Rogla is really a national hero and a true champion. And we all believe in him.
For sure he is.
But please, he needs your help. He's alone, you know. I know cycling. It's really like in the wolf. Everybody is, please, arrange the best team for him. With Ineos, he will be still 2 minutes ahead of all. You know, it's only team. He needs team to somebody to be in front of him.
Well, Daniel, what were we opened with there?
Well, extraordinary. So in chronological order, that was some Slovenian folk music, some Slovenian fans who I spoke to at the finish round the Jumbo-Visma bus. Then we heard from Primoz Roglic. And then we heard from a Primoz Roglic fan hectoring Primoz Roglic's manager, Mattia Galli, and Andy the Engels, Jumbo-Visma director sportif, about everything that's not going as the Slovenians would like for Roglic in this Giro. quite a claim as well from that fan that he was the first Slovenian ever to drive around the world. I'm not sure we can verify that. I'm not sure. I didn't get his name. He claimed that he was a triathlete, he was a cyclist, and he knew exactly the formula that Jumbo-Visma should be employing in order for Roglic to win the Giro, the Tour, the Vuelta, everything else.
This is extraordinary, really, for a guy, as people will have heard in our Kilometer Zero that we released today, he's only riding his fourth Grand Tour and he's third overall, and he's 2 minutes off the lead. He's still very much in the race. I actually thought he had a decent day today.
He looked better today, didn't
he?
Yeah.
So, it's incredible how expectations can be ramped up so quickly and so dramatically. Extraordinary stuff there. And this is an extraordinary place that we're in. The Biathlon World Championships are being held here next year. Where are we exactly? Because this is the part of Italy where they speak German.
We're in Anterselva. I'm going to give it in Italian, although everyone today is speaking German. And we're in Südtirol, and it's very beautiful. We're surrounded by, we are in the heart of the Dolomites now, Rich, the real Dolomites, and very beautiful it is too.
It's a great setting. It was a really stunning sort of finale to today's stage, with a little riders doing a little circuit almost around the center where the Biathlon World Championships will be held next year, there was a big stand set up on the finishing straight, obviously for the Biathlon as well. But I don't think it was really big enough for the Giro. There was a lot of confusion at the end, with the riders being funneled into a road that the team vehicles were coming up, having been on the official deviation from the course. And there were a few close calls there and a lot of very angry voices. Davide Formolo got absolutely clattered by a TV camera. He's okay. He was third today, moved up a bit overall. Well, I just launched into the tail of the Tapa. We've got some good interviews coming tonight. When I say good interviews, we'll hear a very frank assessment of his form and fortunes from Bob Jungels. We'll hear Hugh Carthy as well. We'll hear Mikel Landa.
Did Bob Jungels apologise for not winning, for not delivering on my tip yesterday?
He didn't, but his mum and dad were there. So a lot of families here today, it seemed, and half of Slovenia as well for Roglic. Anyway, the tail of the tap, 181 kilometres from Komitzadura.
Yeah, Kurt, not too bad.
Is that
all
right?
Yeah.
Is that all right? To where we are now, Anterselva. Early action with some riders going in the break, which was predicted by Gianni Savio, which we'll hear from Gianni Savio later in the episode. But his man, Marco Frapporti, was an early attacker. A break kind of formed around him. Fausto Masnada was there, as predicted by Gianni Savio, and a few other notable names. Eventually, there were 18 in the break. That was after Bob Jungels, Davide Formolo, Gianluca Brambilla, Chris Hamilton, and Jan Bakelants bridged across. And that added some real horsepower to that move. And also a rider, Formolo, who is in the top 15 overall and presented something of a danger to some of the teams behind. We saw Team Ineos chasing to protect Pavel Sivakov's position. We saw Astana chasing as well at one point. But the gap was allowed to grow up to about 5.5 minutes. Formolo the best place at 12th overall at the start of the day. Lots of teams representing the break, only 8 teams not represented in the break. And they had 7 minutes by the time they started the first categorised climb, Elvas, at which point Jan Bakelants attacked on his own, which seemed strange. It was a long way to go. 8 riders emerged at the front. There was a bit of action behind him. Jungels bridged across to that leading 8, and it became 10 eventually. From that group, Valerio Conti attacked very early. Now, do you remember in 2017 we were in this area? Pierre Roland won the stage. Conti was in that move too. And it looked very strong,
finish.
And he just kept attacking. And I felt that tactically he kind of messed that one up, and he did so again today. Jungel's efforts were wasted as well, because the two groups came back together, so we were left with the original breakaway, at which point, just as they began, climbed out of the valley and began to climb towards the finish, Nans Peters attacked. Now, he was in the white jersey early in the race, wasn't he, his best young rider, AG2R rider. I did an interview this morning with his teammate Larry Warbass about the fact that they hadn't won a stage at the Giro since 2011. But lo and behold, Nans Peters, one of the least fancied riders in that group, I would have thought, rode away, built a lead of a minute, and won the stage. A surprise, really, considering some of the riders who were behind him. One of whom was Esteban Chavez, who went off in pursuit and finished second on the stage. Formolo was third. Masnada was fourth. And behind there was a bit of action as well when Mikel Landa attacked, and that put some pressure on Roglic and Nibali. And eventually Landa finished 12 seconds ahead of a little group with Carapaz, and Carapaz actually gained another 7 seconds on both Nibali and Roglic. So a very, very good day for Movistar. In the GC, Lopez swapped places with Rafał Majka. He moved up to 6th overall. Majka slipped down to 7th. Formolo moved up to 10th. And the former pink jersey, Jan Palance, moved out of the top 10. Arno Demar remains in the points jersey. Lopez is the best young rider. And Giulio Ciccone
Lopez
is the best young rider.
Lopez?
Spider-Man. Another really good performance by him. Ciccone is top climber with what looks like an unassailable lead. He has 229 points to Carapaz's 66.
The fastest clothing in the World Tour, the home of cycling with character. Ride and watch with Rafa in 2019 as they partner with EF Education First and Canyons RAM.
Paul's got this incredibly strong visual identity and all these elements that you can use to design the product. So his stripes have become such a sort of well-known motif, and we've used a variation of stripes, and obviously for cycling it echoes back to all the different national champs and world champs kits, but done in a very Paul Smith way. So we just use a lot of that. And then there's the little quirky things that Paul always puts in, like his rabbit and little sayings and little hand-drawn elements. So it's actually, it's a designer's dream, I think, to work with Paul on these kind of products.
The things I'm always attracted to are the very simple, simple jerseys, like the old Peugeot one that Tom Simpson used to wear, or a jersey where there's just one name on the front. That's what we tried to do with this collection, is keep it simple, not over clutter, because obviously especially club jerseys are so full of names, because they need lots of sponsors. To, you know, the double glazer and the local plumber and the whatever, so they've literally jammed full of clutter for your eyes. So I've always been attracted to the simple ones.
So we heard there some more of the conversation between Sir Paul Smith and Simon Mottram, which we'll hear bits of all week, and that's in connection with the new range of Paul Smith designed RCC clothing. Very nice it is too. Have a look at it at rafa.cc. Just search for RCC, that's Rafa Cycling Club, Paul Smith. It's available in very limited quantities in the Rafa clubhouses in Amsterdam, Copenhagen, Hong Kong, London, Los Angeles, Melbourne, New York, Seoul, Taipei and Tokyo. I'm going to give another mention as well to an event coming up on June the 18th at White City House in London, Secrets of the Pro Peloton. At this event, you will find out what really happens in the world of pro racing, the rumours, the scandals and the secrets. I'm hosting this event with Lionel Burney, and there'll be guests including a World Tour pro, a coaching colossus and a World Tour team manager. Go to rafa.cc and search for Secrets of the Pro Peloton. That's at 7 p.m. on June the 18th. It should be a great event, raising lots of money for charity, the charity being Ambitious About Autism.
Rich, we've been joined by one of our favourite Epicureans on the Giro, Pier Maulini, photographer, veteran photographer at the Giro. Pierre doesn't speak perfect English, but he can tell us what he's eating.
I am eating rice with a speck and...
Risotto.
Risotto. Porro, I don't know what is porro in English.
Leek.
And a very interesting Tyrolese bread.
Pierre, you always tell me what I have to eat in every region. In this region, what should I eat tonight and what should I drink?
Drink Blaubeerguinder.
Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir, Blaubeerguinder. It's best.
And what about food?
It's good, very good.
Spätzle.
Spätzle, Canederli.
Canederli. Canederli being the Italian version of Spätzle.
Three type of Canederli. Canederli with speck, Canederli with spinach, and the last Canederli with, I don't know, is Rapa Rossa is...
Like a red cabbage.
Yes.
Perfect.
Wonderful.
Grazie, Pierre.
My mouth is watering. My stomach is rumbling at the thought of that. So stage, Daniel, today, well, we thought there might be a bit of a truce called among the GC riders. Certainly we expected a break to go. You correctly predicted that Bob Jungels would be there trying to salvage something from the Giro, and he was.
He was, Rich. It's just not working for Jungels, though, is it? He's quite tired, I think. I think he had a lot of racing in the early part of the year. He did the Cobble Classics. I think he started racing in January. And it just hasn't clicked for him at this Giro. And I just wonder what kind of conversations his team will have after this Giro. Because he's got a lot of decisions to make about his future. He's sort of shunned the Ardennes Classics this year, where he's had success in the past. He did the Cobble Classics. It was great there as well. But he can't do everything, can he?
No, and I mean, he was, yeah, really good. He won Kerner Brussels Kern. He looked very good at the Tour of Flanders. And he's ridden well at the Giro before, and I think he came here with hopes of consolidating his status as a sort of top 10 GC rider here at the Giro. He's been way off that. And he was pretty annoyed at the finish when I spoke to him.
It's good to be out front in the break today.
No, it's been a pretty shitty day for me, to be honest. Yeah, I was hoping to be there for the victory and I wasn't, so not a good day.
Was that effort to bridge across between the two groups maybe one that cost you?
No, I just don't feel good and that's it.
Is that frustrating? Because I know you came to the Giro with big ambitions.
It looks pretty frustrating, yes.
And do you put that down to your classic season or what do you put it down to?
If I had a reason, it would be too easy. I think at the moment I'm... trying to get over it and trying to do my best every day and getting a setback every day again is not easy, but keep fighting.
So that was Bob Jungels, not in the best of spirits. They're having an unusual time of it, De Kooning, Quickstep, having not won a stage.
Did you grind his gears a bit there, Rich?
I didn't feel so. He's very professional. He didn't need to stop and talk. He was on his way down to the hotel, and he actually stopped in order to talk. So he was happy to talk. I don't think my questions were that bad, really.
I'll listen to them later. I haven't listened to them. Okay. I know what he said in response.
Listen to them.
I did.
Anyway, he was a guy in the break that you thought, you know, has the class and the ability to win from that group. He didn't, and it was a, I mean, we'll get on to Nance Peters a bit later, but there were a lot of teams there that had more than one rider, and it was surprising the way that it played out in the end.
I tell you who it did play out well for, Movistar and Bahrain, because they engineered themselves into a position where by Ineos were having to chase to defend Sivakov's white jersey, and they were, or sorry, his chances in the white jersey competition, and they were able to save a lot of their men, save a lot of energy. So a very, very good day, particularly for Movistar, as we said.
And I'm talking out my hat, because there weren't a lot of teams with two riders there, actually. When I actually study the makeup of the group, CCC had a couple of riders there, but really there was quite an even spread of teams.
It was a typical day, Rich, where you would go around the buses at the end of the stage and you will assume that it's been a quite straightforward day for the guys behind. I spoke to a couple of people and they said that was definitely not the case. And I was quite grateful that I hadn't kind of put that to any riders, because I probably would have got a slightly quizzical look and maybe some expletives. Larry Warbass said that the first hour was taser fast. I don't know what that means exactly.
It sounds really fast.
Yeah, we're going to hear from Lucky Larry quite a lot tonight, aren't we?
And you spoke to Esteban Chavez.
I did. Chavez was second. A good day for him. We've talked quite a bit about him in this Giro, haven't we? About his efforts to regain his best form after his health problems last year. Things are going in the right direction for him, and that was borne out by his second place today.
Yeah, I was close, and it was a lot of suffer today as well. I dropped in the second last climb before getting back at the main group. I suffer a lot with Jungles and other guys there. Finally we're back, and like usual we start attack each other 25-35 kilometers to go, and that is not easy when you weigh 60 kilograms and they just pull it really hard on these flat sections, you know. I play my card, and yeah, second. I think second is good, but it's, you know, you have this taste in the mouth. Anyway, we try and we will continue to try in Friday and Saturday for sure.
Esteban, when you think about the last year and all you've been through, is today an important day for you?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's like I told before, it's a lot of suffer as well. I'm not in 100% in my best shape, but I'm continuing to try like always. I believe in myself. Like you see today, I drop in the second last climb and I just keep riding, keep believing. I back at the group and I play my cards. But this guy for Rajadueira attack first and he take the stage. Congratulations to him as well. Yeah, in the end, he's got the second is good, but also you have this strange days in the mouth, you know, but we will continue to try. It's not the end of the Giro, it's not the end of the world.
Well, that was Esteban Chavez. Nance Peters then, a 25-year-old, don't know an awful lot about him. He's from Grenoble and he's ridden for HTR for a few years now. What can you tell us about
him? Well, he's a classic product of that team, the team that's based in the French Alps, around the Chambéry area. That's where he hails from. Has not won races as a professional, has always sort of finished races and done a good job for the team in fairly hard races, but he's a young rider. How old is he? 25?
25, I believe.
25. Still qualifies for the young riders competition, of course. And, you know, a decent ruler, quite powerful, but can obviously go pretty well on lots of different types of terrain. But I don't know a whole lot about him, so I decided to ask one of his teammates today, Lucky Larry Warbass, if he could tell us a little bit more about this day's stage winner.
He's from the mountains. To be honest, I don't know. I think he's a little bit OCD. He's very, very precise with everything he does.
About what? Give me an example.
I just experienced this finally at the Giro, but people told me that he lives close to Chambéry, so a lot of the guys, and they say, like, if you go for a ride with him, like, the day before, he sends you a Strava route, like, of the whole ride planned, you know? Like, you can't just show up and say, like, hey, where do you want to go? He plans everything, so, you know, it was like the first rest day. We were just going to go for an hour ride, right? But he, like, sent us two loops, which would you prefer to do? And we're like, okay. So you know, he's very like do-do-do-do-do. Everything's lined out. He's really professional. So, yeah, that probably helps.
So that was Larry Warbass on Nance Peters. Interesting stuff. I mean, he's got a great eye for detail, hasn't he, Larry? I'm sure future awaits him in the media of some kind.
Maybe in podcasting.
Podcasting. Let's sign him up. Get him on a kind of do a Carapaz.
Yeah, there's a spot for, in our car. In this
Can we talk to him while he's still under contract, AG2R? I don't know. Sure. Anyway, we talk about today as a breakaway day and sort of watch as the race forms and the guys go in the break and don't really Larry's. Talk of it being a taser fast start hints at just how difficult it is to get in the break, but we don't always appreciate that, do we?
No, and it's still, even when guys talk about it, it's still very difficult to appreciate why it's so difficult. And in some cases, it's just a question of kind of watts. And I understand that today it was simply the strongest guys of those, of the maybe 40 or 50 guys who wanted to get in the break, who ended up getting away. There was no great tactical element to it. But, you know, there are a lot of guys that missed out. One of them was Ben O'Connor, the Dimension Data rider who came here with GC Ambitions. It's not worked out for him at all. He's revised his goals, thought he would try to get into the break today. I spoke to him this morning, and here's what he said.
I need to make the breakaway. I've never made a breakaway in a World Tour race before. And the only other time I made the break, I think, was in Austria. And we did a 16K climb, and I made the break, and I won that stage. So, like, I'm not very good at doing it. Today will be interesting to see if I can actually do it for once.
How about just try and follow someone who you do know is really good at getting in breakaways? Just stay on Thomas de Gendt's wheel or...
Yeah, him or Plaza would be absolutely perfect. So that's where my eyes are today.
I mean, Ben O'Connor, very unusually honest about how difficult he has found it to get in race, having never managed it. It's extraordinary, really. But, when I said there were only 8 teams not represented in the break, almost inevitably Dimension Data were one of those 8 teams.
Yeah, and teams like Dimension Data, riders like Ben O'Connor, are done no favours by the likes of Gianni Savio's and Ronnie Giocattoli, who make it look pretty easy, don't they? And, it's difficult for us to ascertain, figure out why that is, really. I mean, we sort of half-jokingly, we talk to Gianni Savio most days, and he tells us about how he has 4 riders helping his other riders to get in the breakaway. Exactly what that looks like and what form that work takes is quite difficult to sort of understand sometimes, but it seems to be working for them and it's not for other teams.
Chute à l'arrière du peloton, Cycling Podcast team car at the back of the pack, please.
That's Seb Piquet, the voice of race radio at the Tour de France, to remind us to tell you that this episode of our Giro coverage is sponsored by Cyclist Magazine. Now, all of our listeners can get 3 months of Cyclist Magazine for just £1 per issue, so that's £3 for 3 monthly copies of the magazine, a huge saving on the usual price, and those magazines can be delivered to your door, or you can access the digital package. You can read at least one article written by Richard Moore of the Cycling Podcast. What have you written about in this month's edition of Cyclist, Rich?
An article headlined The Losing Game, and it's about underperforming teams. Focus really on Dimension Data and a bit on Katusha Alpecin as well. But Bahrain Merida deserve dishonourable mention for just underperforming. Why are those teams struggling so badly when some teams, Bora Hansgrohe, for example, who are on fire here again at the Giro, seem to be able to win with multiple riders. And it's a puzzle that I wanted to try and solve. And I spoke to Jonathan Vauters of EF Education First for the article because he's been in that situation for a few years with his teams before they were taken over by EF Education First, where they really seem to be in a hole. And something's happened, I think, this year to help them clamber out of that hole, and I wanted to try and understand what it was.
Yeah, I'm being slightly mischievous there, Rich, because I have actually read your article, and the case studies you cite, they're all teams with different reasons for having underperformed and all have slightly different ideas about how to dig themselves out of the particular holes that they're in. But in this Giro, for example, I mean, Dimension Data look like the team that's struggling the most, and when you analyse their roster, you know, 4 of the 8 riders they brought here are eligible for the Young Rider competition, so it's hard to kind of criticise a team when they're trying to give youth a bit of experience.
Cyclist Magazine,
covers quite a lot of ground. You've got articles about rides and about equipment as well as pro racing. There's a feature in there on the Mortirolo, which the Giro d'Italia is tackling this week. There's a big interview with Patrick Lefebvre by James Witts, who's a very good writer as well. And it's interesting. Look back on Patrick Lefebvre's long career. There's a line that jumped out at me about Remco Evenepoel. Patrick Lefebvre knows his father, Patrick, very well. And Patrick Evenepoel told Patrick Lefebvre that Remco had one dream, which was to ride for his team, which I didn't know, so that's worth reading as well.
If you want to sign up for the trial subscription of Cyclist Magazine and get the first three issues for just £1 each, you can do so by visiting cyclistmag.co.uk/podcast. That's cyclistmag.co.uk/podcast. And as I say, the magazine will be delivered to you for just £1 a month for 3 months. And if you want to cancel that subscription at any time, you can do so. You're not going to get locked in to months and months. If it's not for you, then you can cancel. As you say, Rich, it's a magazine that covers a very broad spectrum of cycling, from pro racing to amateur riding and sportives.
And no one wants to be locked into months and months of monthly articles by me, do they?
I wasn't going to say that, but you're absolutely right.
Today, as yesterday, the same, because I think that sure will be a breakaway. The finish is with a little hill. I hope Fausto Masnada and Mattia Cattaneo and the other to finish the race. And maybe, because in the breakaway, all people must try to enter in the breakaway. And so maybe that Galazzi will be in the breakaway, maybe. Dendrame will be in the breakaway. We will see.
Gianni, one more question. You're a big football man. My team tonight, Arsenal, are playing the Europa League final against Chelsea. Are they going to win?
Today with Chelsea.
Arsenal or Chelsea, who wins?
Yes. I don't know. Also, if the trainer of Chelsea is Sarri, very difficult, because I think that Chelsea have a very good player. But when one team play against other team who may be stronger, your team will made the best in the match.
Well, Rich, sorry, that was very self-indulgent there, me asking Gianni Savio about the Europa League final tonight, Arsenal-Chelsea. I know that Gianni's a massive football fan, but I couldn't quite figure out what his prediction actually was there.
He sat on the fence with that one, didn't he?
I don't know. I think he had a quite profound point that he was trying to make, but I'm not sure what the point was.
Anyway, he called it pretty accurately in terms of the breakaway today. And, you know, the point you make about his rider's ability to just get in the brakes day after day is a really good one. We do take that for granted, and it's not as easy as it sometimes looks. And we saw a bit of a skirmish among the GC guys today as well, behind Landa, again looking kind of frisky. And he's in this position yet again of being the number two on a team with a guy in the jersey. And he's clearly in form. There's more days to go and more climbs to be ridden. And, Landa could still have quite a say on this race. And I spoke to him at the finish. Saw you attack there. Was that just a case of you feeling good, or was there a plan there to maybe make Roglic do a bit of work behind?
Yes, we are two leaders, no? In the same, not the same team. We will use that not to make the contenders work.
And how are you, for you personally, are you still looking at maybe getting the podium, or do you think the race could still change again over the next few days?
It's true that I would like to be at the podium, no, but I don't want to risk the Maglia Rosa of Carapaz, so I have to take care and go day by day.
Are you feeling good though?
Yeah.
We've seen you on the attack a lot. Do you feel quite confident for the next few days?
Oh, it depends. No, it depends on me. We are defending a leadership, so I can say that I can't attack.
You've been in this position a lot though in your career, haven't you, when you've had the jersey in your team and you've been strong as well. Is it frustrating, or is that just the way the sport is?
It's just the situation. No, if I will do a better time trial, maybe the situation was different, no, but we arrive like this to this week, and that's all.
And Carapaz is impressing you?
Yeah, we saw him last year that he was very strong, and this year also. No?
Well, Lando there, Daniel, said an interesting thing I thought about. I asked him about this pattern in his career of being in great form but having a teammate ahead of him in GC, and that really puts him in this bind. And he kind of put his finger on his time trialing. He said, if I could time trial better, I'd be in a better position. It kind of does boil down to time trialing, although Carapaz also gained time early on in this race. But that's the thing that has left him sort of languishing behind a teammate, and it almost doesn't matter how strong he is in the climbs because he's limited in what he can do.
Yeah, and you know, he's a small guy. Okay, we see him push these massive gears in the mountains, including today. I mean, today, if you'd seen that final climb, you would have said that's a power climb, and it's a climb for a big guy, and someone who's going to push a big gear. I mean, I don't know how many guys were sort of in the big ring going up some of that climb, but Landa is a guy who pushes massive gears on climbs.
And a guy who went with him today, as he went with one of the GC guys when he attacked yesterday, Vincenzo Nibali, was Hugh Carthy. We didn't get a chance to speak to him after the Mortirolo, where he shadowed the shark all the way up, took the Ciro position, and shadowed him all the way up. Really,
he wasn't very happy, was he?
Well, there seemed to be a bit of beef, and I asked Hugh Carthy about that today at the finish.
Hugh, you gave it another go there when Lando went.
Yeah, just good legs again, but yeah, good legs. Teammates did a good job all day, helping me. Nate Brown, good lead out into the climb. Well, it's a big, nice road, but with the wind and that, kept me out of the winds. Excellent, yeah. Yeah, couldn't hang on to Lando, but happy with the day, happy with another day.
We didn't get a chance to speak to you last night after your ride up the Mortirolo, but to bridge across to Nibali and to stay with him up there, I mean, what did that feel like?
Yeah, it was nice. Again, just sounds boring, but when you got good legs, nice to use them and be in the front of the race and contribute, so yeah.
You seem to be taking it all in your stride.
I'm trying to, yeah. I mean, I've had plenty of practice of good races and bad races, and the bad races help you as well. They make you appreciate this more, and just enjoy it now and make the most of it. Don't waste the opportunity, and use it as experience.
Did Nibali say something to you at the finish yesterday?
No, not really. I think he was... Joe didn't really ride in the final, and... I don't know, I think he was tired at the end. He said something, but we spoke after the stage and he shook hands, and as far as him and I are concerned, there's no issue at all. So,
what's the ambition in the final week now?
I don't know, just enjoy it. I've done well so far, if I may say so myself. Yeah, I've nothing to prove to anyone now, and just enjoy it and give back something to the team for helping me, and the directors and the staff for supporting me, so yeah.
The Cycling Podcast at the Giro d'Italia is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Thank you very much to Science in Sport for supporting the Cycling Podcast. Very grateful to them, of course. And you can get 25% off all full price items on the Science in Sport website. That's scienceinsport.com. With the code SISCP25, SISCP25, and Science and Sport have asked us to remind you that that offer code doesn't work in conjunction with items already discounted, so full price items only. The code is SISCP25, and the website is scienceandsport.com, and thank you very much once again to Science and Sport. Well, Daniel, look who it is.
Wow. Ciro, I thought of you this morning. I think of you most mornings, but particularly this morning because we were in Val di Sole. What is the link between Ciro Scognamiglio and Val di Sole?
Well, the only possible link, I think, I like a lot of apples.
How do you like them apples?
Yeah.
Ciro, it's where the football club of your heart spend their summer holidays. They don't go to the beach, they go to the mountains.
Exactly, and it's true. And the problem is that normally Naples spend the month of July here in this place. And in the month of July, you know, I'm really busy. And you can easily understand why, yes.
But talking of mountain retreats, mountain training camps, are you being banished to the Passo San Pellegrino with the shark this year? Because Nibali often goes up into the Dolomites before the Tour de France. You have to go. You don't like going. Are you going this year?
My problem with Passo San Pellegrino, I mean, it was maybe one of the worst day of my life. 7 years ago, dear listeners, a trainer, I go following a training of Vincenzo Nibali and Ivan Basso, 6 hours and a half. I mean, they by bike, me in the car with the coach of Vincenzo Nibali, Paolo Slongo. So this means a nightmare. So from that moment, I have a tactic. Before taking my holidays in June, I ask to the shark, Vincenzo, when are you going to Passo San Pellegrino for your training camp? And so in the same period, I take my holidays. And it works.
Well, Ciro, Daniel and Brian were far too busy ganging up on you last night to really ask you about the shark. And how he's getting on. He seems in fantastic form on the bike. What's his form like off the bike?
I mean, not bad. Also this morning, I mean, it was really friendly, more open than usual, but certainly after the stage of today, in the final, he lost 19 seconds to Mikel Landa and 7 seconds to Carapaz, was not really satisfied. I mean, he told that, I mean, his hotel is 1K and a half from here, so I had the possibility to go there. I'm coming back now, so I can say immediately, it's a sensation, not his best day. I mean, after some days of attacking in the last climb today, was not at his 100%.
Ciro, you know him very well, and you speak to him a lot. Do you get the sense that he feels this is his last chance in a major tour?
Yes, I think so. This could be his very last chance, because we have to consider that in next year and in 2021, but especially next year, he will try, in my opinion, he will focus more on trying to get a great victory with the Italian national team. You know, he lost some occasion in the past when he arrived fourth in the World Championships in Florence or in the Olympics in Rio when he crashed, and maybe in that occasion he could have taken the podium, but I don't know which color the medal, but it was really well placed. And so his priority, in my opinion, in 2020 mainly will be Olympics and the wars in Switzerland that are very tough. So I agree that this can be maybe his last chance to win a Grand Tour.
And who will he be riding for, do you think, next year?
Sorry?
Which team? Do you think he'll move teams?
Certainly, it's not official yet, but I think that the solution for his future should be Trek Segafredo for the next 2 years. Not sure 100%, but I have this sensation.
Talking about transfers, Ciro, you wrote this morning that Carapaz was probably going to go to Ineos. I heard a few people talking about this at the start today. They think it's a done deal. Was there any reaction to your story from Movistar, from Carapaz, from his agent?
His agent, you know, is Italian.
Giuseppe Acquadro, il pasticcere.
Exactly, from Piemonte. And, he told me that there are several offers for Carapaz. He told me that there is mainly a big French offer, an offer from Carapaz, from Arkea Samsung, that wants also to sign Quintana. Also, Quintana is assisted by him. But in this case, I think that the Ineos solution is the most likely, without any doubt.
And we think they're going to pay a buyout clause, don't we? Well, I think he's under contract for next year with Movistar. I think Ineos are going to pay a
normally should
buyout
be like
clause.
That. Yes. About this side, I really don't understand, because some people say that he's out of contract. Some others say that he's as still a contract. But in any case, I think that the Ineos solution should be the most likely. And also we can point out that Ineos should keep all his leaders. I mean, Chris Froome, Geraint Thomas, Mika Kwiatkowski and Egan Bernal, normally they should remain with Ineos.
Boom. Well, there goes Ciro, Daniel, scurrying off. We're trying to finish early tonight, aren't we? I think there's an agenda here.
There is an agenda, Rich. Kick off in a couple of hours. Big night for me. Tomorrow,
sorry,
Rich.
Sorry, you can't be in. Where is the game happening again?
Baku, in Azerbaijan.
Just extraordinary. Azerbaijan featured in our Kilometer Zero today, didn't it?
Yes,
Primoz
it did,
Roglic
actually.
One.
It did, actually. It's been tough being here. I mean, given that Lionel was given special dispensation to leave for football matches, there were two football matches I really wanted to see this week. There was one, Union Berlin got promoted to the Bundesliga and they were in the playoffs, and I was gutted to miss that, and Arsenal tonight. Anyway, Rich.
Well, you weren't going to go to Baku, were you?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure the podcast budget could stretch to a business class return flight. Anyway, tomorrow, Rich, it's a day for the sprinters. Which sprinters are left?
Arnaud Démare.
I spoke to an Arsenal Pascal fan, Ackermann. Marco Haller, this morning. He was trying to rest up a little bit today to try to sprint tomorrow.
Yeah, I spoke to Dirk De Mol about him back at Paris-Roubaix, and he said, you know, Marco's got the ability to win races and he can sprint. He just doesn't have the confidence, he said, to try and win races. So maybe we'll see him tomorrow, because there aren't a lot of sprinters left. I mean, it's Ackermann and Démare, and that's about it. And does that mean that there might be a chance for a breakaway, because there's a lot of responsibility on those two teams? And Bora Hansgrohe have other things going on here as well, with Mike and Formolo.
Yeah.
You know, Francis Dejeux, I think, have kept their team together through the mountains so far, so they've got a pretty strong there. You know, their second row will be on the front of the bunch trying to...
Yeah.
Set it up for Démare.
More importantly, Rich, tomorrow we're going into Prosecco country. We're going into Tiramisu country. I don't know whether you want to have a reenaction of last year's Tiramisu World Cup.
I'll certainly eat some tiramisu. Happy to do that.
Yeah.
Happy to do that. Just before we go tonight, a quick thank you to some of the friends of the podcast. We keep forgetting to do this. We're going to try and do it every night before the end of the Giro, get through a few more names. We're very grateful to you all for your support. You can become a friend of the podcast at thecyclingpodcast.com. That gets you all our exclusive friends specials. Tonight's thank yous are to Stephen Rose, Niall Cooling, Andrew Thornton, Kim Shortreed, and Felicity Taylor.
And David Robinson. Apparently there are two of you, we think. Jonathan Sage, James Baker and Jochen Quindel.
Well, we better wrap things up and get in the car and drive.
We
Daniel.
Should.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rich. Non spingerci ora.
Se lo mangiano le femmine. This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.